Craver started with Ecclesiastes 7:29. Let's examine that passage. From the New American Standard Version, it says, God made men upright, but they have sought out many devices. You know, Traver is right. God makes man upright. And the reason we're not upright anymore is because we seek out many devices. Now, what does upright mean? Dictionary.com says righteous, honest, or just. So that's how God makes us. Psalms 25:8, good and upright is the Lord. Upright is also how God is. Micah 7:2, there is none upright among men. Upright means without sin. So God makes mankind, that's the NIV, or people, New American Standard Version, upright. Now that's actually just the opposite of what Traver just said, that man is born with inherited total depravity, original sin. It says that God made man upright. Do you see what upright is? That doesn't sound like God makes us sinners or totally depraved, does it? Now, how do I know that Ecclesiastes 7:29 is not just talking about Adam? Because notice it says God made man upright, but they have sought out many devices or schemes. It's not talking about Adam. It says, but they. That means Traver was made upright. Adam was made upright. Believe it or not, even Rodney was made upright. Pat was made upright. It's not just talking about Adam. This actually settles the issue in this debate. This verse says God made man upright, and it's not just talking about Adam. It's talking about every man. We're all made upright, and the reason we're not still upright is because we seek out many devices, or some translations would say sinful schemes. Is that hard to understand? I don't think it's hard to understand. Now, Traver brought it up, but it proves my position. God made men upright, and it's not talking about Adam. It says, but they have sought out many schemes. Pat was made upright. And the reason I'm not upright is because I seek out sinful schemes. Now, here's another related passage that I want you to know about, and you already do know about it. Ezekiel 18:20 says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. Love you, Traver, and you did a good job presenting your position just now. But this verse is so clear, it's almost as if God anticipated that the Calvinists were going to come along one day in the future, so he decided to put a verse in there many hundreds of years before the first Calvinists. He put it in there to head off Calvinism, right, and cut it off right at the very beginning. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. It doesn't say if Adam sin, I dies. That's Traver's position. No, if Adam sin, he dies. And if I sin, I die. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. So I did not inherit any iniquity from my son, Kenneth. Seth, who maybe we all came from Seth didn't inherit any guilt from his son, his dad, Adam. You see that? It says the son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. Traver says, no, we all inherit the sin and the total depravity from Adam. This says, no, that's not true, Traver. Not true. It says the wickedness, the end of the verse says, the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. So if I do something wicked, he's not going to charge you with that, James. He's going to charge me with that. If Adam does something wicked, he's not going to charge me with that. The wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. So when Adam sins, Adam is charged with that. Now, how could you make it any more clear than that? The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Not, I'm going to die because of Adam's sin. Or not, I'm going to die because of my dad's sin. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. The sin is not passed on. As a matter of fact, it's impossible to pass on the guilt of sin. It's impossible. Let me explain. If I commit a sin, I cannot say that James is guilty of that sin. Even God can't. Because that would be a lie. That would be trying to rewrite history. And Hebrews 6:18 says it's impossible for God to lie. God cannot lie and say that James is guilty of the sin if I committed it. So if Adam commits a sin, the original sin, you can't transfer the guilt of sin. Because if God were to say Pat's guilty of that, that would be a lie. And it says it's impossible for God to lie. If Adam committed it, he's always going to be guilty of it. If I commit a sin, I'm always going to be the one guilty of it. You can't pass off anybody else. Traver, we are very bad. You said you're trying to present how bad we are. We're just as bad as Traver says. There's only one problem. He blames it on Adam. We are the ones to blame. Let's don't pass the buck. We're very bad, Traver says. He's right. Traver says, let's blame it on Adam. No, blame it on yourself. If you're bad, it's because you're bad. If I'm bad, it's because I'm bad. It has nothing to do with Adam. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Not we die because of Adam's sin. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father. No guilt from Adam. The wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. Adam's sin is on Adam. So, let's talk about what the issue is at this point. Maybe you've gathered it from what I've already said. What is the issue? The issue is not, are sinners depraved, Traver? You spend a lot of time proving that we are. I agree with that. Depraved means corrupt, wicked, or perverted. Sinners are corrupt, wicked, or perverted. By definition, for example, I'm confident everybody here would agree that homosexuals, zoophiles, which I think is the word for those who have sex with animals, you read about in Leviticus 20, pedophiles, people have sex with young children, transvestites, they're corrupt, wicked, and perverted. Are we all agreed on that? They are. But would Traver say the homosexual was made that way by God? That he was born homosexual? He has the homosexual gene? So he's perverted, the homosexual is, no doubt about it. I can't think of any more perverted than a pedophile or a homosexual, somebody having sex with an animal. But God didn't make them that way. That's really what Traver's saying. God made them that way. We know that's not true. Homosexuals are homosexuals by choice. The issue is, this is the issue. Not are men depraved, corrupt, wicked, or perverted. The issue is, are they born that way? That's the issue. Are they born that way? Let's look at some passages here. For example, Deuteronomy 32, verse 5. It says, they have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spite of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Aren't they depraved? They are depraved. How did they get depraved? It says they corrupted themselves. So were they born that way? No. Corrupted, if they corrupted themselves, that means they were uncorrupt before they corrupted themselves. So they weren't corrupt because they were born that way. They corrupted themselves. Now, that's very clear. Proves that Traver is wrong. He's right in that we're depraved, but this says they corrupted themselves. Not that they were corrupted by birth. They did it themselves. Adam didn't do it to them. Genesis 6 verse 12 says, God looked upon the earth and it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Were they depraved? They certainly were. That's why we had the flood. But whose fault was it? Adam's fault or did they corrupt themselves? Look at the verse. This is God speaking here. He says they did it themselves. They corrupted themselves. Which means before they corrupted themselves, they were not corrupt. So this rules out this idea of being born totally depraved. Yes, sinners are depraved, but they're not born that way. You can't blame it on Adam. If you are depraved, it's your own fault. If a homosexual is depraved, and he is, it's his own fault. He chose to be a homosexual. Can't blame it on Adam. Romans 1:21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, depraved. Romans 1, I know that Traver would agree with me, describes some very depraved people. They started worshiping the creation instead of the creator. It says they became vain in their imaginations. They didn't start out that way. They weren't born that way. They became vain in their imaginations. Calvinism says Adam's sin corrupts people at birth, but these verses prove otherwise. People corrupt themselves after the birth. Let's keep going. Isaiah 59:2. This is talking about the Israelites. It says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins has hid his face from you that he will not hear. Whose sins separated these Israelites from God? Adam's sins or their own sins? Now look at it. It's right there in the verse. Your sins separated you from God. Now, if they were already separated by Adam's sins, then their own sins would not have separated them from God. They would have already been separated. But this is implying that they were together with God, in fellowship with God, and their own sin separated them from God. Not Adam's sin. Do you see that? That's an inescapable conclusion. If their own sin separated them from God, that means they weren't separated before they sinned. Because if they were already separated, it wouldn't have been their sin that separated them. It would have been Adam's sin that separated them. That contradicts Traver's position, not that sinners are depraved, I agree with that, but that they're born that way. That's the position I'm we're contradicting. So let's talk about that. Are we born astray or are we gone astray? Thank you for coming, Charles and Tiffany. Which one? Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray, which means they weren't already astray by birth. It says they had gone astray. Romans 3:12, they're all gone out of the way. 2 Peter 2:15, have forsaken the right way and are gone astray. Jeremiah 17:5, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that distrusteth in man and whose heart departeth from the Lord. So they weren't born this way, were they? They weren't born astray because it says they had gone astray. They had gone out of the way. They had gone astray, which means they didn't start out astray. You can't go astray if you're already astray. You can only go astray if you aren't astray to begin with. Then you go astray. Your heart can't depart from the Lord unless it's with the Lord to start with. Traver's position is you can't really depart from the Lord. Your heart depart from the Lord because it starts out departed from the Lord by birth. Even one who's been born again can become depraved. It's not just that, well, Traver's wrong, we're not born depraved. It's not just that sinners are depraved, but even a person that's been regenerated and born again can become depraved. Okay? Traver said, I got a quote from him that says something like, it's at the bottom of the chart. After being born again, you are able to not sin. After you're born again, you're able to not sin. Right? So I'm going to show you some examples of people who are born again and regenerated who became depraved, which means if they're able not to sin, that means they chose to be depraved. Here's Hebrews 3, 1, and then verse 12. First, verse 1 says who we're talking to. It says, holy brethren. Holy means, according to Thayer, most holy thing, a saint. So this is not just a brother like Rodney might call another a black person brother. Same race. This is not talking about just same race. It's a holy brother, a saint, a Christian. Not only that, it says they're partakers of the heavenly calling. You know and I know that only a Christian, one that's been regenerated and born again, has partaken of the heavenly calling. So he's talking to Christians here, born again, regenerated believers. He says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Isn't that depraved? If a person who's born again, partakers of the heavenly calling, a holy brother, if he develops an evil heart of unbelief and departs from the living God, wouldn't you say he's depraved? How did he get that way? Traver would say it has to be by choice. He wasn't born that way because he's already become a Christian. He's regenerated. Now he became depraved. He's got an evil heart of unbelief and he's departed from the living God. He's depraved, but he got it that way by choice. Not by birth, even according to Traver's own position. Because once you're regenerated, he says, you are able to not sin. Okay? Notice in Hebrews 10, which we brought up last Friday night, same thing. 26 through 27 and then 29. It says, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Of how much sore or worse punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified. Here's Thayer's definition for sanctified there. To purify by expiation. You said that word a few times last week, Traver. To purify by expiation, free from the guilt of sin. He counts the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite into the spirit of grace. Now we know this is a Christian. He's received the knowledge of the truth, and he's been sanctified by the blood. That only could be a Christian. He's been regenerated. He's been born again. That's the only way you can be sanctified, clean by the blood of Christ. We know that. But now is he depraved? I would say you can't go any lower than this. Now he's counting that blood that he was cleansed by, an unholy thing, and he's trodden underfoot the Son of God. In our vernacular, we say he's spitting in the face of Jesus. He became a Christian at one point. He was sanctified by the blood, but now he's showing total disrespect for the Lord. Spitting in the face of Jesus, the most depraved you can get, but he got that way by choice because he's definitely already been regenerated. And according to Traver, you don't have this total depravity such that you don't have any choice. After you're regenerated, you do have a choice. He says you are able to not sin. So this person became totally depraved by choice. after he became a Christian. So what we've shown is, yes, we are depraved, but you don't get that way by birth. You don't get that way by birth. We've proven that indisputably here. Now, the next question would be, how does God get this depraved person, how does he get him to turn around and become a Christian? Or if he's a Christian and has become depraved, how does he try to get him to turn around? Let's look at some of these verses. The Word of God is the power God uses to save people. The Word of God. What's contained inside of this book? Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation. How's a person regenerated? By the Word of God convincing them to do what God says. Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. If a person's depraved in sin, how does he turn around? The Word of God causes it. It's the power. Psalms 119:50. Thy word hath quickened me, or made alive me. How is he quickened? How is this depraved sinner quickened and made alive? Through the Word of God. The divine persuasion. Divine persuasion. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again by the Word of God. The Word of God causes a person to leave that depravity. He's not born with it. We see that he chooses it. And this is the thing that God uses, the Bible, the Word of God, to get him out of that depravity. James 1:21, receive the word which is able to save your souls. You see, it's the word that saves our souls. Ephesians 6:17, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The word of God is the tool the Holy Spirit uses to regenerate a person, to convict and to convert him. How does he do it? The tool of the Holy Spirit is the word of God. James 1:18, I'm skipping a few here. Of his own will beget he us with the word of truth. How does he beget us? With the word of God. Psalms 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. It's the law of the Lord, the Word of God, that converts us. It doesn't do it against our free will. There's no need to. It persuades us. 2 Thessalonians 2:14, whereunto he called you by our gospel. He invites us to become Christians, to leave the devil's side and to come to God's side by the gospel. So what we've shown is men are made upright by God. Made upright, that's all of us. Not just Adam, but all of us. We prove that from Ecclesiastes 7:29. Then they go astray, Isaiah 53:6, remember that verse? Corrupting themselves, they weren't born corrupt. This is something that happened after they were born. Deuteronomy 32:5. But God uses his word, the word of God, the scriptures, to draw us back. Let's go to that passage at the bottom there, John 6. That's one of the ones he brought up. Let's see, I believe I have a chart on that. Let me see. Here's John 6:44. This is one of the proof texts Traver gave. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up the last day. So we're agreed, Traver, unless the Father draws somebody, no way they can become regenerated. No way they can become a Christian. The Father has to draw them. But how does he do it? We just showed it with the Word of God. If Traver had just read the next verse, we'd see that. Okay? Notice John 6:45 tells us how God draws the sinner. 44 says you can't come to Christ unless the Father draws you. 45 says this, and they shall all be taught of God.